This is Finding Center, a daily half hour of spiritual focus. Today on Finding Center, we'll hear a BYU campus devotional address by Kevin Duncan titled Jesus Christ is the Answer. It was given on February 4th, 2025.
Oh, brothers and sisters, it is a joy to be with you today. I love BYU and I love my time here as a student. I hope you're enjoying your time here as well. I know that being a student can be demanding and exhausting. Many of you are trying to balance school, work, family, and church responsibilities all at the same time. It was the same for me. I'll never forget one morning as a student, I was so tired, I rolled out of bed and started to get ready for the day. I walked to the bathroom, turned on my electric razor, and started to shave. I was so tired, I was practically shaving in my sleep. The next thing I knew, I had started to shave off part of my eyebrow. Thankfully, my wife assured me that she could love me with or without eyebrows. You are an amazing generation, living in one of the most exciting periods in the history of the world. President Nelson has declared, "So many wonderful things are ahead. In the coming days, we will see the greatest manifestations of the Savior's power that the world has ever seen. Between now and the time that Christ returns, he will bestow countless privileges, blessings, and miracles upon the faithful." What an exciting declaration from a prophet of God that has particular relevance for you because you are reserved to be here and to come to the earth at this time. You will see and be recipients of some of the greatest miracles. Now, because there is also opposition in all things, that along with those miracles, you can expect trials and challenges. But President Nelson has taught us how to confront our trials and challenges. He said, "We do not need to let our fears displace our faith. We can combat those fears by strengthening our faith in Jesus Christ." Brothers and sisters, my message to you today is a simple one. Jesus Christ is the answer. As you prepare for miracles that will surely come, and at the same time face challenges that will test you to the very core, the power of Jesus Christ will sustain you as you steadfastly put your trust in him. He lovingly invites, "Have ye any that are sick among you, or that are afflicted in any manner, bring them hither, and I will heal them." He reassures us, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And I believe he would lovingly remind us, "Through me, you can overcome the world too." Through personal experiences, both heartbreaking and exhilarating, I have gained a powerful witness that through Jesus Christ, we can overcome the world. Today, I will share one such experience I had when I was about your age that taught me that the Savior's power and love can indeed help us overcome any challenge in this world. My hope is to inspire you to trust in Christ more fully and see his hand in your journey. Shortly after I returned from my mission, I married a wonderful young woman named Wendy. A little over a year later, we experienced the pure joy of welcoming our precious daughter, Aubrey, into the world. Life felt full of promise. However, just shy of our two-year anniversary, everything changed in an instant. On our way to my grandmother's funeral, a driver ran a stop sign and crashed into our car. In the harrowing hours that followed, my world was shattered. Wendy passed away, leaving me alone to care for our seven-month-old daughter. The grief was unlike anything I had ever experienced. It tested my faith and resilience in ways I could never have imagined. Some people wondered how I found the strength to trust God rather than curse him for what they perceived as a terrible injustice. The answer lies in the Lord's tender mercies. Those quiet, undeniable moments when his hand prepared me for what was ahead. One such moment occurred just prior to Wendy's passing during an unexpected journey. Just before the tragic accident, I had joined a close friend and recent BYU graduate on a whirlwind two-day trip to move his belongings to California prior to him starting a new job. His wife was enduring a difficult pregnancy, and he was deeply anxious about her health and the health of their unborn child. My friend felt an urgent need to complete this trip and return to Provo quickly to be by his wife's side before their baby arrived. As we drove through miles of open road, our discussion gravitated to an unusual topic. We began to discuss what either of us might do if our wife were to pass away. For hours, that is all we talked about: how one might cope with such a devastating loss, how faith in Jesus Christ could provide strength, and how understanding God's plan might carry us through even the darkest moments. On that journey, I thought I was offering solace and perspective to my friend. I never imagined that just days later, I would be standing in a hospital looking at the lifeless body of my wife. As the weight of Wendy's passing crushed me, I suddenly realized that God, in his infinite kindness and understanding, had been preparing me for this moment. That conversation with my friend was not a coincidence. It was a tender mercy from a loving father. Through those hours of discussing grief, faith, and his plan, Heavenly Father had knowingly and tenderly been preparing my heart and mind to face the unimaginable. When the time came, the Spirit whispered to me that death, including Wendy's passing, as heart-wrenching as it was, is part of a greater plan, a plan guided by a loving Heavenly Father who knew my pain and would not leave me alone in it. That understanding strengthened my faith in the Lord immeasurably. I learned in a most poignant way that he is aware of every detail in our lives and is constantly working and preparing us and sustaining us. It was an assurance that I would lean on heavily in the coming years. Through my friend's need for help, I had been given a sacred gift, the assurance that God's hand was in my life, even during my most devastating trial. In the midst of this heartache, I decided to enroll at BYU, and I was soon balancing full-time studies, a part-time job teaching at the MTC, and the responsibilities of raising a child as a single father. My days began well before sunrise, taking Aubrey to the babysitter while I went to teach at the MTC. From there, I would rush to classes on campus and then pick up my daughter and head home, where evenings were filled with studying and caring for Aubrey. Now, you have to understand that I had no experience with babies prior to Aubrey's birth. I was the youngest in my family and had no practical knowledge of how to care for a child. During finals week, life as a single father reached a breaking point I never saw coming. Aubrey, now a one-year-old, suddenly became extremely ill. Pneumonia hit her hard, and before I knew it, she was in the hospital, lying in an oxygen tent. Seeing her so small and fragile under that tent, laboring for every breath, her little face pale and struggling, broke me in ways that I did not know were possible. I was already juggling a full load of classes, working part-time, and trying to be the kind of dad Aubrey needed and deserved. But in that moment, none of it felt like it was enough. I couldn't shake the guilt, this overwhelming feeling that her illness was my fault. Maybe I hadn't fed her the right foods, or maybe I'd been too distracted by homework and exams to notice earlier signs of sickness. Surely taking her to the babysitter's home so early in the freezing morning air did not help. I kept asking myself, how could I have let this happen? For days, the hospital room became my world. I tried to keep up with studies, scribbling notes and reading textbooks while I sat on a chair next to Aubrey's bed. But honestly, none of it mattered anymore. My daughter was all that mattered. I prayed like I'd never prayed before. raw, pleading prayers that the Lord would make up for all the ways I was falling short as a dad. Through it all, I began to realize something profound. Even though I felt inadequate, I wasn't alone. The Lord was there sustaining me in ways I could not fully understand at the time. Nurses and doctors appeared like angels, offering care and compassion. Professors gave me extensions without hesitation, and somehow, Aubrey started to recover, her little body fighting back with more resilience than I thought possible. Eventually, she was released from the hospital, and we were able to return home. Those few weeks taught me a lesson I'll never forget. Christ's grace isn't about us being perfect. It's about trusting in and relying on Him when you're at your lowest, and letting His strength carry you through. I wasn't the perfect dad, but I didn't need to be. Christ's strength was enough for both of us. Miraculously, He had healed Aubrey, and simultaneously, He rescued me. Attending church as a single father with a one-year-old baby was an experience I will never forget. It was both sweet and deeply challenging. Every Sunday, I would carefully pack a bag full of diapers, snacks, toys, and anything else that might keep my little Aubrey entertained during meetings. I wanted to be there, to feel the Spirit, and to partake of the sacrament. But I often felt like a puzzle piece that somehow found its way into the wrong puzzle. I just didn't quite fit in. At first, I tried attending a singles ward, hoping to find connection and belonging. I would walk in holding Aubrey, this bright-eyed, babbling little bundle of joy, and at once feel the weight of being out of place. The room was full of carefree young single adults whose lives revolved around dating, socializing, and school. As much as they tried to be welcoming, I could feel the subtle unease as I wrestled with my squirming infant during sacrament meeting. It certainly was not their fault. It just wasn't the space for a single dad. So I decided instead to try a married student's ward, thinking that the family atmosphere would feel more natural. But as I walked in, balancing Aubrey on my hip, the feelings of discomfort only grew. Other families were complete, moms and dads sitting together, passing Cheerios down the pew to their well-dressed children. My presence seemed to disrupt that balance. People were kind, but I couldn't shake the feeling of standing out in a way I didn't want, like a living question mark in a world where everyone else seemed to have the answers. Week after week, I sat in the back, trying to focus on the Savior while keeping Aubrey quiet and occupied. Despite the awkwardness and the struggle, I kept coming back. I needed to be there for myself and for Aubrey. I needed the strength of the sacrament, the renewal of covenants that reminded me I wasn't alone. But it was hard. It was really hard. I wrestled with feelings of inadequacy and loneliness, wondering why I couldn't find a place where I truly belonged, a place where I didn't unintentionally make others uncomfortable. Looking back, I realized those moments of discomfort taught me something sacred. The church isn't a showroom for the perfect. It's a hospital for the spiritually weary, for the lonely, and for anyone else who feels that they don't belong, which I now realize is just about everyone at some point in their lives. I may not have found the perfect ward for my situation, but every time I walked through those doors and partook of the sacrament, I found Christ. It reminded me that no matter how out of place I felt, I always had a place with Him. As I struggled to fit in, I found solace in remembering Christ's suffering in Gethsemane. There, He bore the weight of all our sins, pains, and sorrows, including mine, so that I would never have to bear them alone. As a single father, one of the hardest things wasn't just the exhaustion, it was the isolation. Socializing and making new friends seemed nearly impossible. My days were a blur of diaper changes, work shifts, and nighttime study marathons, leaving little room for casual conversations and time to connect with others. In a college setting such as BYU, where many friendships are forged in spontaneous gatherings, group dates, or long nights with others cramming for exams, my reality was quite different. My focus was always on Aubrey, my sweet little girl, who was counting on me to keep everything together. Going to social activities felt awkward. Most people couldn't relate to my situation, and I didn't know how to fit in with theirs. But even in those challenging times, there were bright spots. Friends who made the effort to meet me where I was. An unexpected source of friendship came from Carl, the always kind and unassuming security guard at the BYU bookstore. Carl was one of those people whose quiet goodness left an impression. Every time I ran into him, whether I was rushing to buy supplies or just passing through, he greeted me with warmth and genuine interest in how I was doing. At the time, I often felt invisible, but Carl's simple acts of kindness made me feel like I mattered. In my part-time job at the MTC, I would occasionally team teach with Sister Bonnie Corden, who later became the Young Women General President. Bonnie had a way of making everyone feel valued and seen, including me. Her kindness and understanding were like a breath of fresh air, reminding me that I wasn't alone. These friendships, though different from the typical BYU experience, became lifelines. They taught me that meaningful connections don't always require big gestures or hours of free time. They come from showing up for each other in the moments that matter. While my social life wasn't filled with parties or group outings, the people who cared about me reminded me of the Savior's love. Through it all, I learned that Christ often places people in our path to lift and sustain us in ways that neither we nor they may even realize at the time. For me, that came through unexpected friends like Carl and Bonnie, whose quiet goodness of Christ-like love taught me that I wasn't navigating this journey alone. Through this most difficult and dark time, Jesus Christ became my rock, my deliverer, and my salvation. I received power and sustenance from him, the true vine. I learned to rely on the Savior's in ways I never had before, finding resilience I didn't know was possible. Because of my faith in Jesus Christ and trust in Heavenly Father's plan of happiness, I found the courage to persevere and to move forward. This understanding allowed me to recognize the hand of God and the many blessings he placed in my life, despite my trials. It was in the darkest moments that I leaned the most on Christ, never doubting that a brighter day would eventually come. And indeed it did. After more than 2 years, it was as if dawn finally began to pierce the long, dark night, and the warmth of the sun began to rise. My heart began to heal. Shadows gave way to light, and despair blossomed into newfound hope and joy. Allow me to explain. I had a biology class in the Tanner Building. During that class, I saw Nancy for the first time, and it felt like the world lit up and time paused. She was the kind of person who made the whole room seem brighter. She had an air of quiet reassurance that made me want to know more about her. But I couldn't help but think, how could someone like her ever even notice someone like me? I wanted so badly to ask her out, but fear held me back. What if she, like others before her, kindly found a reason to say no when she learned I had a little girl? I couldn't bear the thought of being rejected, not just for myself, but because of Aubrey. As I wrestled with my hesitation, the end of the semester was looming and I knew I might soon lose my opportunity. So one day in class, I happened to glance over her shoulder and noticed her name written neatly at the top of her paper. That was all the information I needed to embark on a quest. Armed with her name, I headed straight to the microfiche machines in the Wilkinson Center. For those unfamiliar, these microfiche machines held a treasure trove of information, a miniaturized printed directory on film of every BYU student, complete with their home address, phone number, and their class schedule. clearly data privacy wasn't even a concept back then. As I scrolled through those tiny glowing slides, my heart raced. Eventually, I found Nancy's contact information. Looking back now, I can laugh at how strange and bold that moment was. At the time, I felt like it was a covert operation, but it was fueled by a genuine, sincere desire to get to know this incredible girl who had so effortlessly captured my attention. Little did I know, finding her name on that microfiche would mark the beginning of something far more significant than I could ever have imagined. And then the Lord, in his perfect timing, provided a tender mercy. One day, Nancy and I finished a biology test at the exact same moment in the testing center. As we stood there waiting for our scores, we struck up a casual conversation. Nancy sighed and mentioned that biology just didn't come naturally to her. My heart was pounding. I knew this was my chance. So mustering every ounce of courage, I suggested that she join a small study group I was in with another friend. To my amazement, she smiled and said, sure. That simple conversation, sparked by a shared moment of vulnerability, opened the door to something extraordinary that would change our lives forever. One of our first dates was a pivotal moment, one where I decided it was time to tell Nancy about my daughter. Up until then, I had been hesitant, knowing from experience that this conversation could often change everything. But something about Nancy's warmth and openness gave me the courage to be honest. As we were driving together on our way to meet dear friends who were watching Aubrey, I cautiously explained my situation. I told her about my sweet little child who had become the center of my world. I braced for the usual pause and the polite but awkward response. But Nancy's reaction was anything but typical. She just shrugged her shoulders and said, oh, that's interesting. I recently dated another single guy who also has a little daughter named Aubrey. What are the odds of that? I was stunned. What were the odds of that indeed? It felt like a moment straight out of a Hallmark movie. Hopeful in the very best way, yet still impossibly perfect. God surely was in the details. Nancy's nonchalant reaction melted away all my fears. When Nancy and Aubrey met for the very first time, it was magic. Aubrey's bright eyes and Nancy's irresistible charm created an instant connection beyond anything I could ever have imagined. Nancy and Aubrey loved being together. It was the beginning of something truly special and a powerful bond that exists to this day. From that moment on, our dating took off. Aubrey wasn't just a part of my life anymore. She became a part of our lives. And well, since Nancy and I are both here at BYU today, I think it's safe to say things worked out quite well. Over the course of 2.5 years, filled with seemingly endless trials, I came to realize that Christ had always been there for me. My friends, your challenges might not look like mine did, but the answer is always the same. The answer is Jesus Christ. Every challenge you will face is an opportunity to draw closer to the Savior and see Him perform miracles in your life. As President Jeffrey R. Holland has said, Christ knows better than all others that trials of life can be very deep, and we are not shallow people if we struggle with them. But he also knows that because he has suffered pains and afflictions and temptations of every kind, he can reach us and reassure us and strengthen us to be more than we could ever be and help us to do more than we could ever do. That is the promise of staying close to Him. Brothers and sisters, the Savior's tender invitation echoes through the ages. Have ye any that are sick among you, or that are afflicted in any manner, bring them hither, and I will heal them. His power to heal extends far beyond physical ailments. It reaches into the depths of our hearts, restoring hope, peace, and strength. I invite you to stay close to Him. Remember, He is the answer. He has overcome the world, and he will help you to overcome it too. And when the adversary whispers that you are alone or unworthy, or that Christ's love isn't for you, you will remember this truth. Christ's love is perfect and always within reach. He will never leave you alone to walk this life alone if you strive to walk with him. Of this I testify in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to Finding Center. Join us every weekday at 11 a.m. Mountain, 1 o'clock Eastern Time for a half hour of inspiration and recentering. Today we heard Jesus Christ is the Answer by Kevin Duncan. Find a link to the full text, audio, and video of this address at byuradio.org/findingcenter. Finding Center is a production of BYU Broadcasting.